With me to Exodus chapter 11, we'll be reading verses 4 through 6. Again, that's Exodus chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. So Moses said, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go into the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle. There shall be a great cry throughout the land of Egypt, such as there never has been and ever will be again."
Go ahead and leave your Bibles open if you got them to Exodus. We're going to look at several verses. Several verses. What Zach just read for us. I was reading this last week or so, and I was reading this again, and I got thinking to myself, why? Why? Why did he let it go this far? Go back to chapter 7. Look at verse 19 of Exodus chapter 7, verse 19. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, Take thy rod and stretch out thy hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessel of wood and in vessels of stone." Turn over one chapter to chapter 8, verses 2 through 4. "And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all the borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thy house, to thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and to thy house of thy servants, and upon the people, and upon thy ovens, and unto thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all the servants." Down at verse 16. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt." Look at verse 21. "Else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants and upon thy people and unto thy houses, and to the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are." Look at chapter 9 and verse 3. "Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the donkeys, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous disease." Look at verse 8 and 9. "And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, Take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blands upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt." Chapter 9, verses 22 through 25. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch forth thy hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in the land of Egypt, upon man, upon beast, upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt." Verse 24, "So there was hail and fire mingled with hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt, since it became a nation." And then chapter 10, verses 12 through 15. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thy hand over the land of Egypt for the locust, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locust. And the locust went up over the land of Egypt and rested in the coast of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left, and there remained not any green thing in the trees or the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. Then verses 21 through 22. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, and there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in the land of Egypt 3 days. And then, of course, what Zach had read for us. If you go back and you look, you start with turning water to blood. You go to frogs, and I don't know how many of y'all remember, but I preached a sermon, or I have a sermon, I believe I preached it here, entitled One More Night with the Frogs, and I went into detail about how bad that would be, that everywhere you walked, everything you opened, everything you touched had frogs on it. Chapter 8 and verse 16, lice or gnats. We all know how bad that is. Flies. Talking to Keith yesterday, he said, what are you doing? I said, trying to kill this fly that keeps walking up down my forehead. You know, you don't want to miss when you swing at that fly. We all know how aggravating flies are. Your livestock gets diseased. Boils come up on you. Hail comes and destroys everything you have. Locusts eats up everything, and then darkness, and then finally, death of the firstborn. Why have you ever wondered why it took 10? Why is it that Pharaoh held out for 10 plagues? There's people today that hold out. They keep holding out, wanting one more day, one more moment, one more time in life. People that need to obey the gospel, people that need to get their life right with God, and they're a lot like Pharaoh. In the sense, they keep holding out, waiting just a little bit longer before they give in to God. If you turn to Acts chapter 9, the whole chapter, I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to read certain verses. We're going to start with verse 1. You think about making a change here, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings, I'm in verse 1. Breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Jump down to verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Verse 8, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by his hand and brought him unto Damascus. Verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And then finally, verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto him how that he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Got two examples here tonight. One that was holding on. Don't know why, whether he loved his power, whether he loved his authority, whether he loved what people thought of him more than they thought of God. But either way, Pharaoh, you'll have to admit, he dug in, and he dug in deep. And he said, I'm not going to give. And he let the ones, his people, suffer. They suffered because he was not willing to surrender to God. Then you come to the New Testament, you look at Paul, or you look at Saul, and you start off in verse 1, what he had been doing. slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He was extreme one way, and then when he found out about the Lord, he immediately changed. Tonight, which are you? Are you more like Pharaoh? In a sense, it's you're bound and determined you're going to continue to live the life that you want to live. If you're living in sin, if you're not in a right relationship with God, are you holding on for one more thing to happen and one more thing to happen after that? Or are you more like Saul in the sense that when I learn the truth or I know the truth, I'm going to respond to it and I'm going to live it each day of my life?